Next case for argument, United States v. Graves. Mr. Brindley.
May it please the Court. My name is Beau Brindley, and I represent the defendant appellant, L.C. Graves. Your Honors, during the sentencing, the district court indicated that the sentencing guidelines, specifically the career offender guideline, dictated a factual finding about the defendant's likelihood to recidivate. Specifically, the district court stated your classification as a career offender suggests that it is likely you will commit more crimes in the future. And by indicating that a guideline category, a guideline classification, dictates a factual finding about likelihood to recidivate in criminal history, which is one of the 3553 factors, the district court essentially, I think necessarily, was indicating that in its view, the guidelines in this respect were not only presumptively reasonable, but presumptively persuasive. The Supreme Court precedent dictates that there must be an independent evaluation of facts that impact the Section 3553 factors, such as criminal history or likelihood to recidivate.
What if Judge Crabb had said your criminal history dictates that you are likely to reoffend rather than your status as a career offender? Would that be okay?
I think that would be different if she was citing the specific criminal history itself, or it would be better yet if she had detailed what it was about the criminal history that made it the case that she thought that made him likely to recidivate. However, in this instance, she chose to say that his status as a career offender was a factor that said he was going to recidivate or was likely to. And I don't think she can do that.
You don't think she was just using that as shorthand for as a shorthand reference to the defendant's criminal history?
I don't know. I think that's the problem. I don't know. Because either this court can't presume that she was accurately making a statement about how the guidelines should be used and how the independent factual analysis under Section 3553 should be conducted. We can't do that presumption. She had to tell us, but she indicated that the status as a career offender was a factor that meant to her that he was going to recidivate. And I think if that's what she meant, then he should be entitled to a resentencing where she says, it's not just the status, it's exactly what you did, and lays it out.
Well, I assume that at some point earlier in the sentencing hearing, there was a reference to the attempted first-degree murder, aggravated discharge of a firearm, aggravated battery, etc., offenses that make up the defendant's prior criminal history.
Early in the sentencing, they were certainly recited. However, the district court also went on in great detail indicating that there are factors about the defendant's background that she thought indicated that he could be a better person, that seemed to be mitigating factors, and then later when imposing the sentence, said, well, your classification as a career offender suggests it is likely that you'll commit more crimes in the future. And so we need to know, was it the categorization under the guidelines that made her come to this conclusion and discount these other mitigating factors? Or was it something else? She did not give us those specific analyses. And that...
I don't understand you. It says you were not deterred from committing these offenses by sentences that had been imposed for prior felony convictions. Your criminal history and your classification as a career offender suggests it's likely you will commit more crimes in the future. I don't know. What's left out? I don't get it.
I don't think she can say that his classification as a career offender impacts a factual finding on likelihood to recidivate, Your Honor.
Why not?
What is a career offender?
A career offender is someone who has
makes a career out of committing crimes, right?
I don't agree with that. I think specific.
Then you don't agree with the title.
No, I don't care what the title is. What it means is that the individual has the requisite number of serious drug offenses or felony convictions that qualify it.
But more accurately, it's going to stop then.
What's that?
he's not going to continue.
Offending. What's the question? Is he going? Are you asking me if he's going to continue offending?
Not this individual in general. You're hypothetical.
The theory of career offender enhancements is that, you know, history is predictive. And a person who's committed all those crimes and before is likely to repeat them. That's why you need a very long sentence.
I understand that, Your Honor. The problem here is I believe that the district court could not say that it was the classification under the guidelines that impacted a factual finding that is required to be independent of a guideline analysis. That's the problem. If she would have said it's these previous convictions and left the guidelines out of it,
I
think it would be different.
Why the career classification can't be relevant to a judgment of recidivism. It's a congressional or sentencing commission determination that, you know, this kind of criminal record is highly predictive of repetition.
Well, Your Honor, the facts that impact Section 3553 are supposed to be analyzed completely independent of the guidelines. That's what the Supreme Court has told us. And here they were not. The guideline classification itself impacted the factual analysis.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Connell.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Connell?
Good morning. My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in Madison, Wisconsin. I was responsible for the prosecution of the defendant below. The one issue here on appeal is whether his sentence was procedurally and substantively reasonable. This court reviews reasonableness under an abuse of discretion standard absent any procedural error. Here, there was no procedural error. The district court correctly calculated the advisory guideline range. The court did not treat the guidelines as mandatory on two occasions. It referred to the guidelines as advisory at sentencing. That can be found in the appellant's appendix at 20 and 22. The sentence was substantively reasonable. The district court addressed many things raised by Mr. Graves below, his childhood, his background, talked about his intelligence, and addressed the need to deter him going forward. And Judge Sykes, I agree with you that I think Judge Crabb was just linking the career offender with his overall criminal history. So unless there are any questions, I would rely on my brief and ask you to affirm the conviction and sentence.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Connell. And thank you, Mr. Brindley. You were appointed, of course. And we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.